Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life. Torah Chesed, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You're tuned into right now, whether you're listening live or you'll hear us eventually in the archive version of Blessed Blog Talk Radio. Soul Class, program number 381. Whose presence is divine? Part 7, usually this has been a continuing series with co-host Dennis Ryan, who is happily vacationing out in Europe. So we're going to go solo, not hand solo, but solo. But you can join in the jam for the next several minutes at 347-838-8669. And we're broadcasting live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unifying Souls Actually. We're going to be focusing on Blessed Souls Shechina, Divine Presence, which is directly configured to our Divine Image. If we want to access such consciousness during this blessed life upon this blessed earth, source of information for this program is generously culled, plucked from a Hasidic discourse Maimar delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1951. P.S. If we care, we can then share it with the entire human family experience. Meanwhile, may the Most High Eternal Creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And to help you process this information, we want to share with you now a verse from the book of Joshua, Sefer Yeshua, chapter 3, verse 5, quote, and Joshua said to the people, quote, prepare yourselves for tomorrow the Creator will do wonders among you. But before we go further, we have to turn down the music from Blessed Brother in Soul, Spirit, and Prayer, and Song and Dance, Rabbi Isaac Batom, prayer partner at the famous Frankel Shul here in Kesser Crown Heights, and also president of Beit Mazal, where every Shabbat at 1433 President Street in Brooklyn, New York, located between Kingston and Albany Avenue, you can hear authentic Jewish, Moroccan, North African chantings of the Psalms of David and the other composers of Ruach HaKodesh, Divine Inspiration, in the liturgy that's offered in Rabbi Isaac's shul. So just turn on the music and get on with the shoes. Sorry, Rabbi Isaac. Oh, here we go. Wow, we're done with that. Blessed souls, being that the program content today is dealing with the idea of concepts of Shekhinah, Divine Presence, which is something which still is not activated enough among the 7 billion plus human souls upon this blessed earth and clothed in their blessed bodies, because there's blockages in consciousness. So we are in exiled condition here in the human family experience. And I'd like to share with you, the truth of the matter is, Blessed Souls, I wasn't planning to do a program this morning, but I met a friend of mine. His name is Ertis. He's an Afro-Caribbean man who lives here in Kesser Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. And we were talking, and he engaged me in a discussion, Don, what happens if someone lives with another person for a year and a half, and they haven't been doing that well financially? And his partner, meaning his wife or girlfriend, suddenly one day pours scalding hot water on him. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know where he was going with this. Then he pulled up his shirt and showed me the burn that was on his, basically the little bit in the area above his belly button and reaching down below where his where a person would buckle their pants. And it appeared to me to be somewhere between a very severe first-degree burn or a very light second-degree burn, because actually a layer of his flesh, the dermis, I think you call it, was burnt off. And it was, instead of he's a dark-skinned individual, it was white. And he said to me, Don, you know, I can have this person, this woman, arrested. I could have, and she could probably sit 8 or 9 years in jail. I don't know where we got the figure 8 or 9, but certainly that was a crime. That was an act of viciousness. Now, I don't know what his part in their relationship was, but she reacted in such a way that she burnt him with scalding hot water, boiling water. So I said, what do you do in the end? He said, I'm not going to press charges against her, and I didn't, and I don't plan on it, because I realized at some level that what she did was for my good. Now, I told Ertis that you're tapping into a very high level of consciousness, because most people, I'd probably say 99% of people who were burned in such a manner, such a painful manner, and I saw one of the bandages in his midsection, and there seemed to be some blood on it as well, in part of his treatment process for this somewhere between first and second degree burn, most people would prosecute and have the person certainly detained and questioned by the authorities, whether detectives or police, peace officers. So what I'm trying to say, Blessed Souls, is that we get into ranges of constricted consciousness, and certain events wake us up to what's going on. That is beyond the own. There's a spectrum beyond our own consciousness, as I was sharing with Ertis as well. That in the light spectrum, although light in and of itself, I believe even according to science, is of no color, but when it is refracted and reflected through various vessels, kalim as we say, it assumes certain dimensions of color. But the human eye can only perceive a certain amount in the spectrum of light, and beyond that, the color of light, where there's no suitable vessel, that we as human beings can perceive that light as being a nuance of color or shade, is just totally black. So we see here in the human family experience here that woman obviously had constricted her consciousness and acted in a way that was antisocial towards my friend Ertis. And Ertis responded by seeing beyond the imposed restriction of consciousness that he must have felt at the time he was in pain and hospitalized and treated and continued to get treatment for his burn. Yet he could see beyond the restriction imposed upon him by the act of his girlfriend or wife. So what we aim to do, Blessed Souls, with humble efforts as we're doing this morning right now, inspired by this matter that Ertis had shared with me, and now you're hearing it, and also in the merit of an immediate refuah shlema for a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, I'm not going to say her name as she identifies herself, but as she told me is her Hebrew name, Chana Bela Bas Inez, or Inez, that she should have an immediate refuah shlema, and she should feel the source of her healing is coming from Rofe Kol Basar, the hero of all flesh, as I also humbly blessed and advocated on the part of Ertis, that the area of his body which has been burned should be speedily healed and should be testimony to how Hashem Rofe Kol Basar, that the Creator is the healer of all flesh. Also, it was in fact 3 days ago, it happened to be the 26th anniversary of the passing and the ascension to the next level of life of my grandmother, Esther Bas Zisia, and I didn't make certain preparations and activate certain activities on that day, which is to my lacking. Hope I'll be forgiven by her in the proper time, at the time of Kitzuran Nishach, my offer, when those who report, lay in the dust shall rise up and sing songs of joy for the great resurrection. May we see speed in our days. That she encouraged consciousness amongst her children and grandchildren. And I'm sure if she could, she would be encouraging expansion of consciousness for her great-grandchildren, which she has several. So that being said, now, blessed souls, we want to go right into this teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Again, I'm talking generously from the Rebbe's teachings. About the idea of Shekhinah, which means divine presence, and is an expression of enclothement of divinity, of godliness at every level and realm of creation. And at one point in time, at the beginning of the creation, before an event took place, which caused a lowering or the dumbing down of human accessibility to accessing total cognitive pristine consciousness of divine presence, namely the Chet Eitz Hadas HaTov HaRa, the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that the Ikar Upanimus of Shekhinah, the essence and the inner aspect of Shekhinah, was dwelling here upon the earth as originally decreed in mercy, with mercy and love by the Creator, with the intent that we as human beings should serve as a means of stewarding this earth to draw down and elicit even greater elicitations of godliness, Shekhinah. Now, when we talk about what was revealed at the beginning of this blessed creation, according to the perspective of how the Creator had decreed there should be a beginning, because let us remember, blessed souls, when we talk of the Creator, there is no beginning and there is no end to Creator. They're just the fact that Creator is. And for perhaps for some people, that's a little hard, especially when they have unfortunately and mistakenly internalized into their human consciousness, sort of blocking their pristine access to their divine image to some extent by saying, God became a man. But we don't hold by that. We have the children of Israel. And I know many children of Noah do not hold by the idea of God becoming a man. In fact, I believe in the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, we see in, I think it's chapter 19, verse 26, even the prophet Balaam prophesied that God is not a man. So we know that man has a beginning and an end. Creator doesn't. So when we talk about the beginning of Creator's creation, we understand the context as what do we recognize as the beginning of creation, which is a very constricted perspective, but the Torah can help us look into that sense of beginning of creation. Yes, I do hold by the creationist perspective, but not according to the Christian version, but by to the Israelite or Hebrew, Israelite, Jewish perspective of the oral and written Torah traditions of Israel, that we are associating creation's being, beginning, or sense of existence with the revelation of the orb, this earth that we dwell upon. And this idea of the beginning of the creation, in terms of we as being part of the creation, with the manifestation of this blessed earth, should not contradict, from another Torah perspective, that the Or Eloki, the divine light, when enclosing itself within the worlds, descended in an orderly step-by-step level, from higher level to lower level, whereby that now newly manifest lower level is a higher level in relation to the level that is. And while, too, we recognize from some perspective as human beings that we can access from within the elucidations of the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimus of Torah, within that revealed and orderly descension of Shekhinah, there exists a dimension above creation where Shekhinah, divine presence, illuminates in a more revealed manner within those upper realms of creation, or as we also call them, Olamot Elyonim. Simultaneously, dimensions of Shekhinah, divine presence, elicited via the divine order, or what is decreed by the Creator, as a process of cause and effect, Ilva Olu, become these dimensions of Shekhinah, become reduced. A very important point here. Get reduced in terms of quantity as this relates to the totality embedded within Or Eloki, divine light. Now, we can contrast between the concept of Or Eloki, divine light, and Shekhinah, because Or Eloki is where Shekhinah is coming from. It is part of it, just as the shell of a turtle is part of the turtle itself, which obviously provides the option for a healthy living turtle to stick its legs out and its head out, or to pull them into the shell. So Shekhinah is that means by which the Or Eloki can express itself as decreed by the Creator, as it is revealed within the order of all cause and effect relationships, also known as, in the Hebrew, Seder Hishtalshalut, or Seder Hishtalshalut. Now, blessed souls, all that has been discussed above relates to a blessed earthly environment. Again, let's not lose sight of that. Where the pristine Ikra Panimiyot HaShekhinah, the essential and in a level of Shekhinah, divine presence, was revealed upon this earth, existed in terms of our understanding of beginning and time and space and soul during the first 6 days of creation, before we were created, original man and woman. At that point, there was no such discussion of sin or transgression, of chet, avera, avon. But once we brought into the scenario, once the Creator revealed into the scenario of existence upon or within this blessed creation, original man and woman, which for us can mean, has meant to the blessed souls of creation, trying to understand the spirit and the wisdom and knowledge of the Torah, which for us meant, means, and will always translate into are an awareness of the revelation of Or Eloki, because this idea of revelation of godly light was meant for human beings to access and to utilize. And for the masters of this consciousness of Or Eloki, godly light, for the prophets and the mystics of the creation of Israel, and even from the children of Noah, to instruct others, again, how to access this divine light as it existed upon and within the blessed earth. And this is one mode of expression of divine presence dwelling upon the creation, this creation that we are part of, that human beings should be aware of. They could, they did in the past, they were able to, are able to, and always be able to access the Shekhinah, but assisting them in a more conscious, not just sense of the feeling it, but without being able to elaborate upon it, in a way they can consciously describe the process that they're engaged in. And also, it's not just a matter of becoming intellectual, philosophical eggheads, blessed souls, in ivory towers of philosophy. It's a matter of bringing it down so it even permeates our most mundane of actions. However, alas, but not forever, there was a problem which manifested itself at the beginning of the creation, as we understand creation in terms of something that we can dwell upon, namely this blessed earth, human intervention, via an action taken at a time before it was proper, caused a disturbance. Disturbance, we can connect back to Adam and Eve, not to blame them, but since it is written about in the written oral Torah traditions that they had committed a transgression, we can talk about it in a respectful and hopefully manner of contrition, because we are their descendants, and we have their descendants 5,774 plus years after they were created, still have not rectified that disturbance. So none of us can stand above and say we are more righteous than original man and woman, because who in their righteous mind could ever assume that they are greater than the ancients of creation, who are much more in touch with their soul, much more in touch with their intellect, much more in touch with their emotions, much more in touch with the implications and ramifications of every physical act that they carried out during their blessed lifetimes. Therefore, I have to mention this, the heinous crime that was committed recently in Iraq, otherwise known as Babylon, where this heinous evil group called ISIS, who are contributing, unfortunately, to another human crisis actually destroyed the area's prophet Jonah. Who was the prophet Jonah? Jonah was the one who was sent by the Most High to Nineveh to tell the people of Nineveh to repent, and they did, and they were not destroyed. A living example. Not just Jews, but Gentiles, children of Noah, blessed children of Noah, can avert destruction from the heavenly court by engaging in acts of returning to the purpose of their creation, which means not to steal and not to commit violence, as that was a problem in the city of Nineveh. And also the ISIS, those evil ISIS individuals or group, whatever you want to call them, a plague upon humanity, these human beings who are so constricted in their consciousness, they also destroyed the gravesite of Seth ben Adam, the third son of original man. And by the way, blessed are those Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, buried in Hebron. This is not a mystery to us, blessed are those. This is human history. It's not just Jewish history. It's human history. So why would ISIS destroy the gravesites of Jonah, the prophet of repentance, for the nations and also for the Israelites, as an example? And as well, Seth. What did Seth do? Because he wasn't a Muslim. It's ridiculous. But getting back to Adam and Eve, that disturbance that unfortunately they engaged in caused a departure of the original divine presence to depart within a realm of creation known as Harikiyah, the firmament. And the idea of Rikiyah, blessed souls, is an extremely deep, deep, deep concept. And since we are basically running out of time, I'm going to leave you, so to speak, in suspense. And hopefully next week on August 21st, we will merit, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, to go into part 8 of whose presence is divine. But one more thing, blessed souls. When you make that space in your heart to hate, to become jealous, to engage in unnecessary competition with another person, just remember, you're pushing out that space where you can activate and actualize that energy for acts of kindness, acts of love, and acts of empowerment of other human beings. With that being said, blessed souls, I'd like to ask you to consider that you need not worry, you shouldn't have to worry if you have your faith in the right place. And I want to ask you, blessed souls, as we're about to end off with our flagship ending, music ending artist, David Doma, help us get back home to realize our divine image will help us get scrimmage. Our Telem Elokim is no dream. And a teva tov lehetev, it's the nature of the good to do good. It's the nature of the good to do good. And you've got to be good because the source of all good put you in this world to do good. So you have the power to do it. And here we're going to end off with David Domes, Don't You Worry About a Thing. And let's end off, blessed souls, in a way, Bezos Hashem, with the hope of the Most High, Bahav Echad, with one love, Gorel Echad, one destiny, Kulon for all of us, Bedarki Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darki Nom, in a pleasant way, Lahamshich, Bezos Hashem Yisbreich, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Take care. Please.